Why should I feel discouraged? Oh, I feel like singing that tonight. Why do the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow. Me, oh, I sing because I'm happy. Anybody feel that way tonight? Oh, I sing because I'm free. Oh, oh, yes, I am. Oh, I see. Because I'm free. I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know He watches. Somebody help me praise Him right now. Jesus, you're wonderful. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise.
Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Let everything that hath breath and everybody that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. He's so good. If you have your Bibles today, open up to Isaiah 40, if you would. Go right into this, and then we're going to baptize Brother Tim Meredith in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. We appreciate the word of the Lord. I'd like to read you a verse of Scripture here. Hallelujah. All right. Stay. There we go. Excuse me. We're going to begin in verse 1 of Isaiah 40. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Appreciate everybody with us online today and hope you believe the Lord. Great things can happen when we believe Him. If we can allow ourselves to believe Him and believe in Him and believe what he can do more than we can believe the situation. Because nothing has changed. We're still in New Testament times. He can still perform miracles today like he did back then. The problem and the question is not if God can, it's will you believe he can? And will you trust him? Because he is able. He's always been able. But can we believe and can we rise above? I don't want my meat and drink every day to be the problems and sorrows and troubles of this life. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord, of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God, we pray that you strengthen us today for these few minutes, God, of your word, and help us to say something to help many. Edify, encourage, strengthen, settle, and establish in this present truth in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We need the word of God. Can you say that with me? I need the word of God. I don't need a concept of the word of God. I need the word of God. Praise the Lord. I don't need a religious belief. I need the word of God. Amen. I just need that word of God. We read here today that we as a people are not all that long. We're as the grass that withers and the flower that fades. It's a humbling perspective of life that God gives us all to remind us that since we're just like the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is not, and the flower that fades, that we should do the right thing with our grass. Praise God, that we should do the right thing with our life, because although life can feel like it's been a long time, it can end very quickly. And it's not all that long. One day you're a kid, the next day your hair is white. And I didn't mean that, brother. You know what I'm saying. But you understand, one day we're young and the next day we're old. And as the prophet wrote and the king wrote in Ecclesiastes, that, you know, it's remember him now in the days of your youth before you reach that point in life where it's a burden to just bend over. Right? That's what he was saying. Where the small things now become mighty big things. Where it takes a lot to walk across the living room. Where the evil days come not, and you draw nigh to that time where you say you have no more pleasure in the days, that the twilight has come upon you. Some things in life may appear to be the most important in your life at this present moment, but God has a way of stepping us back from the canvas and giving us a true picture of what's going on, and put everything in its proper proportion, in its proper place. That we need to seek God while he may be found. And we need to call upon him while he is near. And Calvary has brought him near. Hallelujah. The cross and the shed blood of Christ has brought him near. Praise the Lord. And baptism in his name brings you near. And him near together. And it joins you as one. It is our way of participating in his burial. Praise God. Jesus said, after I do what I do, then you'll take up your cross and follow me. And you'll do it in the way that you'll do it, as I'm going to do what I'm going to do in the way that I'm going to do it, because I'm the only one who can do it. Amen? You may be, as we've said this before, and preachers have made this statement before, that you may be the only Jesus somebody knows. And that's the truth, but just remember, Jesus is still Jesus and you are not. Make sure you understand what that statement means and you put it in proper perspective, to let Jesus shine. Because Jesus knows how to be Jesus even when we don't. Hallelujah. When we don't know what to do, this is where we are able to be led of God and just let God do his thing. And so that flesh and the flower can come to God and have its time, but have its time correctly, so that when the days of withering does come, we will not wither without hope. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We will have looked back over our life, Sister Gloria, and we will have seen, yes, ups and downs, but we will say, I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I walked with God. I'm living on the hallelujah side. Praise God. I might have had to give up some things, but it was worth it because God blessed me with better things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can look back at all the things that had you bound in a world of sin and you can rejoice. You might be old. You might be rocking in a rocking chair. You might be drooling on yourself, but you can look back and say, God picked me up out of the gutters of sin, out of the deep miry clay. I was a pig wallowing in the mire, but he picked me up and he cleaned me up and he converted me and he healed me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise God. That's the God we serve here today. Because he knows what's really important when we don't. Hallelujah. And he has saved us against a time that is yet to come that will make these days in our flesh seem just like fairy tales. Amen. Because greater is coming. Hallelujah. We are tasting of the powers, Hebrews 6. We're tasting of the powers of the good world to come. Please, don't walk away from a table where you can taste of the good world to come. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Don't develop taste buds for the slop that you once came out of. When we repent, I'll get there in just a moment, but when we repent and we forsake our sins, remember, look at what repentance is in the eyes of God. Repentance is our ability by God's grace to forsake the slop, to forsake the miry clay, to no matter how deep it is, no matter how dark it is, no matter how gross it is, when the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, when it comes our way and we believe that gospel, we now have what it takes. When we turn our heart to God, we have what it takes to walk away from everything and anything, amen, that has us captive. Satan has to let go. Amen. Sin has to let go. Amen. Darkness has to let go. The mud has to let the pig go. Glory. Oh, glory. No addiction has the power to keep you because Jesus is in town. Praise the Lord. And when we say, I want to obey God, it doesn't matter how much sin has a hold of your life. And we have this example in the Word of God with the man full of devils, amen, and cutting himself with stones and breaking chains and crying out in the tombs, wearing no clothes, just under the complete influence of demonic powers, that when Jesus stepped on the shore, all those powers said, uh-oh, look who's here. Hallelujah. That's how weak he is in the presence of God. And I'll say like Pastor said it, and I'm not saying you've got devils, Brother Tim. I'm just saying, he said, if you want to get rid of devils in your life, the best way to do is be converted and let your sins be blotted out. Amen? They're not going to stay when God cleans the house. Hallelujah. Praise God. nor any other sin of your flesh. No shame, no guilt, no all the things that you've ever done wrong in the past. This is where you and Jesus meet, and he makes everything all right. And we start with a clean slate in the eyes of God. And we obtain something that comes from God, and that is a new nature. I thank God for that. Only Jesus could do it. And that's a taste worth having in your mouth. Hallelujah. In your soul, you understand that taste of purity and righteousness and love and peace and joy and cleansing. Amen. For your soul. Only the Lord can do it. And we must obey him in order to do it. We've read here in Isaiah 40. So much to say. We've read here in Isaiah 40 a prophecy from the word of God about a man coming whom the Lord in Malachi called, I will send Elijah before that great day comes. Jesus said John the Baptist was that Elijah. He was the fulfillment of Malachi 4 as well as Isaiah 40. That there would be a voice that would cry out in the wilderness. God is so good. Listen to the words before we read Mark. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Make straight in the desert. Didn't say in the plushy fields and palm trees. And it said in a desert place where everything's usually dead. Where there's no life growing. The desert. He's saying make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Because God can have church anywhere. God can do anything anywhere. Praise the Lord. He can step into the driest places in the world, the most gross darkness places in the world, and do a great thing. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. Mark chapter 1, let's turn there, and I'll try to hurry up here. Mark chapter 1. I wanted to read the prophet before I read Mark. Because there's something Mark says that's very interesting. I think a few services ago I made mention that each gospel writer starts off each gospel very uniquely. And very unique to them, unique to the moment they wrote it. Mark being attributed as the first gospel written. I've always been intrigued how he wrote this and how he began it. He said, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So Mark was saying that the beginning of the good news, the beginning of peace on earth, goodwill toward men, the beginning of the gospel of the kingdom of God was this message that John came preaching. He said, the gospel begins here. This gospel, like I said, from Romans 1 and 16, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This gospel, he said, this is the beginning of the gospel. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Please understand something. Jesus came so that we could be filled with his Spirit. There is a promise, as is written in the Word of God, that is for every one of us that have repented of our sins and been baptized in Jesus' name, as we're going to read in a few moments. There is a promise Many of us have received it, and some of you are yet to receive it, and I hope no one here will ever fight to receive it, because it is a gift. It is something that we must have if we are to be His. So John preached repentance, saying to the people to repent of their sins, and they came unto him confessing their sins, and not to John, but unto God, and he was there to baptize. So John's baptism was a water baptism of repentance, because he was preparing the people's hearts for the Messiah that would be coming. And we read here that it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, John, that is, John saw the heavens opened after he baptized Jesus and brought him up, and the Spirit, like a dove descending upon him. It was not a physical dove descending. It was John seeing in the Spirit that this was the one. He saw the Spirit of God lighting upon him like a dove, as gentle as a dove would land. Movies try to show a dove, you know. How do you show something spiritual, right? So they try to do what they can, so they use a dove. But a dove didn't land on it. But John, because John was told by the Lord that whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, the same is he. This is the one. That up to this point, they had not met. They had not. John was out in the wilderness until the time of his appearing. Jesus doing what he was doing. So he wasn't sure who he was until he had come. And this is the one he had been preaching about. This is the one he had been pointing people to. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately, and we can go on. We're not going to go into that part of the lesson here today. But what I'm wanting to share about starting here is the fact that the beginning of the gospel was found in repent and believe. Praise God. Turning the heart, because repentance is your heart turning unto God, saying, "God, I want to live for you. God, I want to serve you." And we know this. We've heard this over and over again. But there are times when even us in the church where we should need no repentance, right? Just he's there to call the unrighteous to repentance, not those who don't need it. But we do find ourselves needing it. Or at least we take time to renew ourselves in a moment of repentance, because repentance is the departure from, it is the confession of, it is the drawing near unto God and departure from a lifestyle that was not pleasing to God, a lifestyle that you can't mix with Christianity. And the beautiful thing about repentance from dead works, Hebrews 6, in verse 1, is the language of Scripture. It is repentance from that. So repentance is a departure from the heart, a departure from that. It is not a thing. Repentance is never trying to figure out, how am I going to stop? That's not repentance. Repentance is, I am sorry for these deeds. I want to live for God, and I'm drawing nigh to God in a spirit of repentance, because I've become guilty before God, and I'm humbling myself, saying, "God, I want to serve you." That's all that we can do. He's never asked us to figure out how we're going to do it. You just do it. You depart from. And it is God that empowers you to stay departed. It's us like Lot leaving Sodom and Gomorrah. You never go back. Because he rains fire upon it. Right. Amen. As we depart from a lifestyle of sin to embark upon a journey of living for God, our repentance and remission of sins in his name, as recorded in Luke 24:47, Jesus testified to his disciples. Something happens to that stain of sin upon our life. Something happens to the direction now. It's not just a one-time moment, and I believe everybody here understands this, but sometimes it's good to just go over it real quick for people to remember that repentance and baptism in Jesus' name was instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was the first Jesus' name baptizing preacher. The very first. Because the apostles wouldn't have known what to do and what to say and that Jesus taught it to them. But it's why we do what we do that is the most important. We can fight with people all day about just repeating Matthew 28 over somebody or doing what Matthew 28 says. And as long as they're in a fighting spirit and a closed heart, you'll reach nobody. But when somebody's hungry for why we do what we do, which is the greater topic to talk about, why we do this, then you'll find some hearts that may want to serve God and want to do things the right way. Because it is a departure from, it is a call of God to come out of darkness into his marvelous light. And there is a way to do it. And the only way to do it is God's way to do it. There's not another way. You can't, none of us live in sin and also live in righteousness. None of us are saved, but we're sort of unsaved. That's dumb. He didn't fulfill all of his word so that we could continue living in sin and being disobedient to God and yet claim to be obedient to God. It's not the way it works. So we read here that John came crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And I love that statement, prepare. Prepare. How do we do that? In repentance and in believing what he said. Now, if we were back in that day, we would have just been believing on this one that's coming. We don't know who he is no more than John did until he stepped into the waters. But John was there to prepare the heart. And when we believe the word of God and we repent towards God, we're preparing and we're making his path straight. Hallelujah. We're creating an entrance. See, when we find real repentance, God has an entrance into our soul. When he sees the soul departing from iniquity and wrongdoing, not just acting like it, not being double-faced, right, double-tongued, not pretending to be one thing and really being something else, but truly, Lord, I want to serve you. That's when he comes. So today we're going to have a baptism, and today we're going to pray that God will also fill him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God that God will fulfill all the good things that Brother Tim is drawing near unto God and wants in his life. Amen. And I don't have to convince him of anything. He's already heard the word of God as many times as he's come here. I'm just going over again because it's a good thing to remember. And it came upon my heart, the beginning of the gospel, the beginning. It all began with John. The gospel begins with John. We can't have a gospel without repentance. No repentance, no gospel. No repentance, no salvation. No, you deciding that I do not want to live in a world of unrighteousness and sin any longer. My world of unrighteousness and sin. I want to get rid of these rags. And I want God to clothe me with something he wants to clothe me with. Praise God. And that is a robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. And I want to be the planting of the Lord. Amen. Don't you? Yes. Let's love him. Hallelujah. Let's love him. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory. We're going to read Acts 19 in just a moment. But John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, because remission of sins comes when repentance is involved. It's not just water baptism, but repentance and baptism. And that's what Jesus taught his disciples. So when you read Luke 24 and 40, I'm just going to read that real quick before we go to Acts 19. Repentance, remember, it's the preparation. Jesus is the remission. He's the one that brought remission. And the definition of remission is this. Number one, forgiveness of sin. Number two, cleansing, the washing away of our sin, the covering for our sin. And according to Mosaic law, it is written in the Word of God that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. That's why they offered up animal sacrifice, because it was an atonement for the soul. Once every year, Israel offered up a sacrifice in the temple, which represented God forgiving the sins of the people for another year. So there was every year a remembrance of sin every year, and there was something God had them do, shed blood of the innocent animal, the clean, pure, without blemish lamb. Because he knew this represented Jesus, who was the Lamb of God, that would come to take away the sin of the world, who would allow himself to be sacrificed, shed blood, the holy for the unholy, so that he could forgive our sins forever. He wouldn't shed blood every year. He would do it just one time. And we would join in that death and burial also one time. Praise the Lord. So his baptism of repentance was that. It wasn't what was coming, because Jesus hadn't shed the blood yet. But it was for that. It was preparation for that. That John came to teach repentance of sin, bring people to the awareness of their sins, and then say, now the one who's going to take care of you from here is coming, who's going to baptize you with his Spirit. So Luke 24 says these words, and this is the word of the Lord himself. He's resurrected from the tomb, and he's with his disciples. And he opened there, verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued from on with power from on high. Now, this is the word of the Lord himself. So it doesn't matter about if any other person preaches any other gospel than this, Paul said in Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9, let him be accursed. There's no other gospel but one that can save us. And we don't need another gospel. We only need that one. We need to obey the word of the Lord. So repentance and remission of sin. And then this is where we read in Acts 19, and we know what Peter said in Acts 2, but let's read Acts 19 for a moment, and then we're going to have a baptism here. Praise God. I'm eager to get to it too. Hallelujah. God is so good. This okay? Yes. Amen. I just wanted to drive home that message of repentance. It is so, so important. There are too many that struggle after they are baptized, and not saying that you will, Brother Tim, but I'm saying some that have been among us that have come in, they got baptized, and they split because they didn't, I don't think they got the message. And I don't think that true repentance was there, because when true repentance is there, you have a heart like Brother Tim has. And others that are here that are new that have been baptized this year who want to live for God. That's the difference. That's the difference. I want to live for God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we continue to pray for those that have been here who have struggled, because we want them back. Yes. Because we know they're new, and it doesn't mean they don't want to live for God, but things have gotten in the way. And we pray for that to come back. And it came to pass, Acts chapter 19, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, now John, he found certain disciples. Let me just read it. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said, well, how were you baptized? He said, unto John's baptism. So they were only baptized with the baptism of repentance, and had the message still lingering in them that they should believe on him that should come after him, as Paul was about to say. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, all the men being about 12. So here's an example where he found these disciples that were disciples of John himself that somehow missed the memo. They got way out there in Ephesus somewhere in Asia and totally clueless about what was taking place back in Jerusalem, apparently. But Paul clued them in. Said, hey, this one that Jesus said was coming, he came. And he taught them, obviously, and that's why we have verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because that repentance and remission of sin. And that's what this is all about. It is about forsaking sin and the unrighteous thoughts and your unrighteous ways, and then letting God wash all of that sin away, so that as Paul said in Romans 6, that we should walk after that watery grave, we should rise to walk in newness of life. Amen? Because in water baptism, we are buried with him by baptism. And that's the significance of this, is that the old man is crucified with his deeds. So whatever has happened in the past, this is where it ends. Right. Hallelujah. Sinfully, this is where it ends. Amen. This is where the sinner dies. And the creature that wants to serve God, the child of God, rises up to live. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's all stand, Brother Tim, if you want to start getting ready. According to the Word of God, written in Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:16, Luke 24, John 20, and as obeyed by the apostles of the Lamb in Acts 2:38. We now baptize you, Brother Tim Meredith, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Amen. In Amen. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessing and honor and wisdom and power. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.